Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Once we are saved and have believed into Christ, receiving Him as our Redeemer and Savior, what is God most interested in seeing in our lives? Good Christian conduct? Christian virtues such as kindness, patience, love, and generosity? Or how about seeing us become gifted and powerful in our service? Or how about full of knowledge of the Bible? Well, all of these things are surely wonderful, spiritual. But here's the great surprise. Though all of these things are mentioned in the Bible, none of them are of that much interest to God. I said, none of them are of that much interest to God, because what He desires above all else in His people is to see Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, making His home in our hearts and living His life in us, through us, and out of us. Bob Danker has joined us today for another life study from the book of Ephesians. And the topic once again today, Bob, is God's economy.
Yes, this is a crucial topic in the entire New Testament, especially here in this book of Ephesians. And in order to see what God wants us to see, we have to put aside our religious thought, our religious way of thinking, and we need to see what God wants. We need to enter into God's heart to know what He desires.
Bob, let's talk for just a moment before we get into the program today about this word. We have touched it many times for those who are following along each day. They're pretty comfortable, I think, with this term. But from people who may be finding us listening for the first time or the first few times, God's economy, what is that? Are we talking about God investing in the stock market here, or what do we really mean here, Bob?
Well, this word economy, of course, comes from the Greek word oikonomia, and we do find this word in several places in the New Testament, especially in the book of Ephesians. What it really means is that God has a plan, a purpose, an arrangement to dispense Himself in Christ as the Spirit into His chosen and redeemed people, so that they collectively will be built together to be the church, the body of Christ, as the expression of God in Christ. God wants to dispense Himself into man. That is His economy.
It is a word that is translated in many ways in various translations of the Bible. There are a number of, you know, accurate ways to render this word, and it's not always rendered literally as economy, but that is the root Greek word. I'm glad you quoted it there, this oikonomia, meaning literally a household arrangement or household stewardship, and all of these words, stewardship, administration, dispensation, probably others, are seen in various verses that are quoting this Greek word. I like what you said, His plan, how He is working out what is in His heart as His eternal desire. That's really the focus of this whole book of Ephesians, isn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. The book of Ephesians is a book on God's economy.
Well, to see this in the sense that God has portrayed it in His Word requires something that Paul prays for early on in the book of Ephesians. And that is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And here again, the Apostle Paul is using this marvelous heavenly language that characterizes the book of Ephesians. And what he's really saying is, we need a revelation to see God's economy. And that's what we're hoping to be part of today. Let's join Witness Lee.
God's economy is just to dispense Himself into all of us, His chosen people. God is now doing this dispensing work within us. We all have to realize to be saved is not just to get our sins forgiven. It's not just to get ourselves saved that someday we will go into heavens. To be saved means to have God started dispensing himself into us. Some Christians would think after being saved, we need to improve our behavior. And some Christians would think after being saved, we need to have the power to do a good work, to be fruitful to the Lord, to win the souls. Some Christians would think after being saved, we need to have the gift, to have the miraculous expressions of the gift, such as speaking in tongues, prophesying, healing, and so forth. But when we come back to this book of God's economy, we could see it is absolutely different. In God's economy, it is absolutely not a matter of work, not a matter of gift, not a matter of knowledge. It is absolutely a matter of how Christ has to be wrought into our being. God is doing a work to work Christ into us. We all need a vision and our eyes within being enlightened that we may see what God is doing now. God has no intention to change you, to make you better, to improve you. I tell you, regardless how much you could be improved, that means nothing to God. What God wants is that Christ has to be wrought into you.
Strong words again from Witness Lee in this portion, Bob. One thing that struck me as he was speaking about the need to receive a revelation, and that is how Paul opens the book with this kind of earnest, deep prayer that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, would be open, unveiled to see something. It doesn't take a revelation to see that God wants us to behave well and to have a good ministry and to preach the gospel, all of these things. No revelation is needed for that. But this matter of God's economy, it really does take something to happen to the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, doesn't it?
It certainly does, Chris. The thing that most Christians miss is just the person of Christ. Christ himself is the center. He's the circumference. He's everything in God's economy. In God's economy, his unique desire is that his Son, Jesus Christ, would be wrought into all the believers in Christ, would be constituted into their being to become their life, their reality, their everything, and all their virtues, even the power for their service of the Lord, even Paul said that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's vain to know the teachings of the Bible without Christ, because Christ is the center and the circumference. He's everything. He's the center of God's economy. If we miss Christ, and if we miss God's desire to work Christ into us so that we can live him out, to be his expression, then virtually we have missed everything. All we have is a superficial, religious Christian life full of outward activities without any inward reality.
You know, if we take the Apostle Paul's writings in total, of course, each book has its particular emphasis or particular burden that the Apostle Paul had when he was writing that specific letter. And certainly we've seen again and again in Ephesians, the overall thrust or topic is that of the church. But this matter of God's economy, it's found in every one of the books of Paul, and it's referred to in many of the other contributors to the New Testament. But it seems Paul really had this vision just riveted into his being, and no matter what of his letters were touching, once our eyes have seen a glimpse of this thing, God's economy, this desire of God to dispense himself and to see Christ wrought into our being, all of Paul's writings take on quite a different a character, don't they? And an appreciation for them just really blossoms.
Yes, Paul was so strong in emphasizing God's economy. Every one of his epistles, he speaks of this one thing, that God wants to work Christ into us so that we corporately would be the body of Christ, to be his corporate expression.
One of the other passages we frequently refer to, and I think it's a good one to lead into this second portion of today's program, in one of the other books of Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, a verse, as I say, we've quoted many, many times in past programs, really is saying, in a sense, the same thing, but maybe from a little different perspective. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So even his dying for us here, more than just to solve the sin problem, is also focused on God's economy, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. And in this verse, there is a phrase that is so important. It says, Christ lives in me. What does in me mean? It means that Christ has been wrought into you. And he now lives in you. That's God's economy.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We all know the verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no more I, but Christ lives in me. We say this, but we practice otherwise. In our saying, it is no more I, but Christ, I tell you, but in our practice, it is absolutely no more Christ but I. Am I right? Whether you be good or you be bad, in God's eyes, it means the same. Why? Because whether you are good or bad, you are not Christ. God's salvation is Christ. God's salvation is to work Christ into you. You know, Satan has put this Christ even to death. But God did some work. God raised him up from the dead. And God has set him up to the heavens. And this very Christ, God is going to work into you. The crucified Christ, the resurrected Christ, the raised up Christ, God is now working into you. Paul says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but the new creation.
Amen.
And what is the new creation? That is Christ wrought into your being.
Amen.
When Christ is wrought into your being, then that is the new creation. And I have to tell you, the new creation is not an individual thing, but a corporate entity. That is the new man, the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Only Christ himself can produce the church. Nothing less than Christ. We need the vision. We need the eyes to be enlightened. And this is why in no other epistles the Apostle Paul prayed in such specific way. He prayed that the saints may see. God's intention is to work Christ into all of us. We are God's workmanship. Don't think that you can work for God. You cannot do a work for God, but you are God's work. God is waiting that he could have a chance to work upon you, to make you a masterpiece.
Whoa. Just incredible utterance there. We began with Christ living in us. We're crucified, and now it's no longer we who live, but Christ, and we end up in this section being God's masterpiece, of course, from chapter 2, verse 10 in Ephesians, for we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which in a sense brings us back to how we began today with this very striking opening, saying God is not interested in all these good things. What he is interested in is who is living out all of these wonderful things, isn't he, Bob?
That's right. God cares not for what we do, but who is doing it. As long as we are doing it, it will never satisfy God. Even our doing good does not interest God. In fact, it offends Him. Because God's desire is not that we would live, that we would be good or behave ourselves in a virtuous way. God's desire is simply that Christ would be wrought into us, that He would be lived out of us in a corporate way. Christ, as Witness Lee mentioned, to have Christ wrought into us makes us a new creation. We cannot be a new creation without Christ being constituted into us. He is the new creation. And when He is mingled with us, then we participate in this new creation. And this new creation, of course, has a way of living that's full of good works,
right,
which God prepared that's for
right.
us to do. But these good works do not come out of us as the old creation. They come out of Christ living within us and even being expressed through us. It is, I would say, a new universe. In the old universe, it's I trying to do many things to please God. In the new universe, it's a new creation with Christ saturating us and permeating us and living Himself out of us.
It's a new Christian life. It's such a completely new approach to what has, I think, perplexed and plagued all of us as believers who do our best and struggle and strive to make it and to meet the standard that we see in the pages of Scripture. And even despite our best efforts, all of our earnest prayer, perhaps even our tears and anguish, is just outside of our grasp, outside of our reach. And so we think, well, maybe we excuse ourselves. God knows I'm weak. God knows I can't make it. But the fact that I'm trying must be enough to please Him. But this is a revelation. You were talking, quote the phrases you were talking about before we began recording today that's actually in the printed message about a revelation and a revolution, Bob.
Well, in the printed message, Witness Lee said, this should be not only a revelation, but also a revolution that takes place within our being.
Wonderful. We need both.
We need revelation that brings in a revolution.
Revolution and revolutionizing our Christian life. Well, we continue in the same thought, I think, in the final segment today. And for that, we've selected Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 to read. It will be mentioned in this portion. And it says, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. The unsearchable riches of Christ, certainly, Bob, the very essence of God's economy, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Here's Witness Lee again.
Chapter 3, verse 8. What the Apostle Paul preached, not the doctrine, not baptism, not gift, not knowledge, not the power, not this nor that, but the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul ministered the riches of Christ, not the knowledge, not the power, not the gift, not anything else, but just the items of all what Christ is. The unsearchable riches of Christ have to be gradually, daily, hourly, routed into our being. To such extent that Christ has to make His home in our heart. Whose home is now in your heart? Your home or Christ's home? Who's living there? Is your heart really the home of Christ? If it is, you are taking Christ as your person. You are taking Christ not only as your life, but as your person. You could say, amen, amen. The person that lives within my heart is no more I, but Christ. My heart today is Christ's home. You see, it is not a matter that you are humble or proud. It is not a matter that you are weak or powerful in the Lord's work. It is altogether who is living in your heart. Who is living in your heart? Who is the real person that is living? You may be very gifted, but I'm sorry, your heart is not the home of Christ. You are still the home of yourself. We don't need the eyes and light. We need a clear sky.
Bob, this matter of Christ being in our heart is spoken of very frequently by Christians, many times preaching the gospel in other contexts. But the context in which it's really found in Scripture, in the Apostle Paul's presentation of this thing we have been talking about, God's economy, it takes on a much different and deeper and more profound implication and meaning, doesn't it?
It does. This means, Chris, that in God's heart, in His desire, God wants Christ to reside in every chamber, every room of our heart. That means every part of our inner being. So in our Christian life, it is not a matter of what we do or how gifted we are or how much we work for the Lord. It's how much we open to the Lord and give Him access into the rooms or the chambers of our inner being so that He can work Himself into us by making His home in our heart. So Christ wants to live in us in all the inward parts of our heart. Then, of course, if He has access and He can take up His residence within our heart, then He becomes the person within us who is living, who is making all the decisions, who is carrying out everything, but He does it not independent of us. He does it in us. But there He has the room within us to make His home.
So in a practical way, Bob, can you give us maybe an application where we in our Christian experience may sense the Lord's desire to really spread out and occupy more space in our heart? Walk us through, we've got about a minute, how we can cooperate with the Lord to enable Him to have more ground in us.
Well, I think the best way to cooperate with the Lord, Chris, is to pray. You know, Paul said, pray unceasingly. This is the hardest thing for us to do.
Yeah.
It is to maintain a contact with the Lord and a fellowship with the Lord as we are going through our daily routines. In our Christian living, we may do many things in a routine way, simply forgetting about Christ and not realizing that what God wants is Christ and not I.
Uh-huh.
So by praying, we can open ourselves to the Lord, not praying by asking for things, but just praying in a way of saying, Lord, I open to You. I don't want to be the one who is living. I don't want to be the one who's speaking or going to the store.
Right.
Or disciplining the children. Or
driving on the freeway.
Driving on the freeway. That's right. I want You to make Your home in my heart so that You will be the person in me doing everything. Now, this is, I would say, a revolution.
Yes.
It's not a matter of, Lord, help me to do the right thing, or Lord, help me in this situation, but Lord, I open my being to You that You may live in me. It will be no longer I, but Christ.
Okay, that's our program for today and all the time we have. But as I say, for us, at least for me, this is one that I would benefit just listening to this ministry again and coming back through the material. So if you'd like to get into it yourself again, perhaps the best thing you could do is contact us and we'll help you get this printed life study message. And for Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening, and we hope to join you again next week. Bye-bye.